Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on Demand.
Hey, good morning, Canada. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show on a Thursday morning. Only two more days without Rod, and then we're back to normalcy next week. So hang in there. Enjoy the beach, Rod, Tyler, everybody else who's in Mexico this week, and welcome into the program. A busy program today. Our director of scouting, Craig Smith, is with us and looking sharp. Spring training.
Baseball's going.
Yeah.
Yep. Major League Baseball Network. It's a nice thing to look at and get to see the Yankees, and the Yankees are having some injuries already, like last year.
Have you gone to spring training?
I have. I've been to way back in 1981. I went to Lakeland, Florida, to see Detroit Tigers, and
wow.
Fidrich and Trammell and Whitaker were there.
Yeah.
But and then of course I've seen quite a number of spring training games, but all in Florida. Haven't seen any in Arizona.
Hey, Clark and Jordan are the heroes back there. Mostly Jordan. I give Clark too much credit for this. But the Facebook wall is working in the studio, so it's a little bit easier for us to get your comments in here and for Craig and I to see them. So we want to welcome everybody in this morning. Ed, Jason, Pat watching in Winnipeg. Good morning, Pat, Rod, and Carrie watching as well. Monty's in. He's excited about the Huskies this weekend in Saskatoon.
I'll see you with Monty this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm going to Saskatoon. So
oh, good.
Him.
Good. John, Bill, and Rod's watching this morning. So good morning, Rod. We're going to get to a lot of your comments today on the program.
You see Rod's Instagram?
Holy cow,
is he ever having some fun. Lots of different stuff. It's incredible.
It is reality TV at its finest.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, good for him.
The foam party he was at last night.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, and the dancing girls.
I have. When we had parties, we never had foam way back in the day. So, but that would be quite interesting. That was something.
Oh, yeah. And the missile when he was going down the water slide there.
Oh,
did you see that
goodness.
One? Yeah. Just like a rocket.
That's for sure.
That's pretty good.
And Tyler did it too.
Yeah, Tyler did it too. They were down there side by side. So lots to get to tonight on the program. Tough one for the Oilers last night in Vegas. We knew that something was going to happen. Rod is in there. The 7 wins for the Golden Knights. I put it out there. It's the RP bump.
Yep.
Since he went there, 7 straight wins for the Golden Knights.
Yeah.
You know, the Oilers coming into last night's game were 6-0. On the second game of back-to-backs.
Yeah.
And Vegas was on a 6-game winning streak. Something had to give. But Vegas was so good. Good start for Edmonton in that opening period. But this is tough because, they won 7 straight. Marc-Andre Fleury was very good.
As usual.
As usual. And the Oilers are in a little bit of trouble. Kailer Yamamoto, I guess he's back skating. Skated yesterday, so that's good news. But Andreas Athanasiou left. He had one shift in the third period left, did not return.
That's the kid that they got from Detroit?
Yeah,
lower body
injury. So waiting to find out if that's serious or not. I don't know that it is. But
how did Ennis play?
We'll find out. Ennis has been good.
Yeah.
He wasn't, nobody was really good last night for Edmonton. They had a good opening period. And that was it. 3-0 the final on that one.
It seems like that's the way they are, though, hey?
I know.
Up, down, up.
Hot and cold.
Yeah.
And, so it'll be interesting to see exactly what happens in Vegas. So that's interesting. I want to get to this first because something in the news locally, and this isn't going to affect people all across the country, but in Saskatchewan, there's an alumni tour for the Montreal Canadiens. Did you hear this?
No.
So the Montreal Canadiens alumni had been planning a trip out to Saskatchewan for a tour. Saskatoon, Wynyard, my hometown, Beachy, and Regina. I think they had 4 events planned. And these are the real alumni, right?
Wow.
And they were coming out of Montreal. Not the rec team that plays under the alumni banner out of Saskatoon, which that's a cool organization.
Yeah.
But the flights yesterday were canceled out of Montreal due to a snowstorm.
Oh.
And you look, and actually out of Toronto, there are a lot of flights that have been canceled.
Yeah.
So they're not coming out here. It's putting all of these community fundraisers in a bit of a pickle. Wynyard's canceled theirs. I was going to go out and announce it, do some announcing for the event. But Beachy is adamant that theirs is going to happen. They've got more happening. They got a band and cabaret and the whole deal. So they're rounding up former NHLers that are still here in Saskatchewan.
Oh, great.
To come out and do the event. So Travis Mullen, I believe, is confirmed. Clark Wilm is confirmed. So they're looking for more guys. Mm-hmm. And we know Saskatchewan has plenty of former pro guys.
Yeah.
So that's something that's on the front burner today for the folks in Beachy. And a community fundraiser for their arena. And I'm hearing word that Kelly Taylor, do you know the comedian Kelly Taylor out of mm-hmm. Prince Albert? He might be suiting up in goal and playing net. So that'll be fun.
Wow.
Great event in Beachy, and I love that community is pulling together and saying, you know what, they're not coming, we'll do it without them.
Well, that's good.
So
that's excellent.
If you've got connections in the Facebook feed, you're watching this morning, to anybody who's played in the show or somebody who can go out to Beachy and play on the celebrity team, the Montreal, or the, I guess, not the Montreal Canadiens team, but the former pro team, help those guys out. You can find them on Twitter, Facebook. Help them out. It won't be hard to find them. So there you go.
That's great.
Yeah. Doyle's watching this morning from Wendell Clark's. Good morning. We're sending Nick Lewis to come see you on Saturday. So hopefully he stops by. Nick's going to the Rush game on Saturday, his first one.
Excellent.
So
I'm going to go to Wendell's on Sunday.
You are?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as usual.
Good. That will be fun. Yeah. So there you go. Alan Lee's watching from the back room, the intern, recommending producer Clark for the team. So we'll see.
I didn't know Clark was a hockey player.
Well, he's a little bit of everything. How about this? Speaking of playing, we had the Ballers Slow Pitch League last night, the original 16 Slow Pitch League at Ballers last night. And with our guys going, now Tyler is our team coordinator. Mm-hmm. He's the organized one out of all of us.
Yeah.
So he's always texting the group, hey guys, ball's tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. He's gone.
Yeah.
So Clark and I don't know when ball is. And all of a sudden I'm cooking dinner. And Ricky sends me a message, hey, are you coming to ball tonight? And I knew Clark was busy last night.
Yeah.
And I was like, totally didn't know it was last night.
Mm-hmm.
But what time do we play? 6:30 and 7:30. It's 6:45.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? But he's like, Jamie's here, our other teammate.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, if he's there by himself, I can't leave him hanging.
Yeah.
So I get in the car, go down there. It's just me and him.
Oh,
we play two games. In one game, I had 25 at-bats. My shoulder, I need rotator cuff surgery after that.
Yeah.
But we almost won.
Wow.
We almost won.
Wow.
But again, we took him to extra innings.
How many players are there usually?
Usually we have four.
Four.
And you rotate through.
Yeah.
There's two. So it was just bang, 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 bang.
You got to get the Emogel.
Yeah. I need that today, or the A535 or something on the arm. So so that's interesting. Monty in Saskatoon. Trent's watching. Let's get into Trent and say good evening to Trent and our folks watching in Norway. He says, Norway here, let the Rush beat Toronto on Saturday night. Looks like the Astros are having a rough time in spring training. They are.
Yeah.
Hope the CFL makes sure that all Canadians, where is the rest of it? Get in the league for our sake. Have a good one back home. Thanks, Clark, for putting that on the monitor. So hopes that the Canadians get to play in the league. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So hello, Trent, and thanks for watching. And good morning, Bo, watching from Saskatoon. Now, what Trent's referring to is what we brought up yesterday on the program. And this came up because of the receiver TJ Jones, right?
Yep.
Out of Notre Dame.
Yep.
He's a Canadian kid, has spent 4 years in the NFL, wants to come back and play with the Toronto Argonauts. He's had multiple offers apparently in the NFL, but come into Toronto. Signs a $200,000 deal, but it gets blocked because of a technicality that says if you're a Canadian coming back into the league for the first time, you're considered a rookie, and now you have to sign a rookie deal, which comes in at the, you know, somewhere near the league minimum.
See, I didn't know that there was a rule like that.
I don't think any of us did.
Yeah, when guys come back, you know, from the NFL, we would offer them, you know, nothing outrageous. We'd offer them a contract and, you know, go from there. But I didn't realize that now there's stipulations with regards to how much you can pay a Canadian coming back. It's kind of ridiculous.
It is. So they're in Vegas. I believe the winter meetings are going on in Vegas right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is going to be discussed today. I don't know if we've had any news this morning come out yet, but I'm going to lean on you, Clark, to be following that right now and see if we can get word out of Vegas by the time we're off the air, if this is going to get fixed. I believe that it will, because I don't know that there's anybody really against it. Or what the reason would be to being against. I know you want to promote players to come here right away and not leave, but you want the best players possible, and you especially want to ensure your best Canadian talent plays in the CFL.
Well, and this is quite a different situation because this guy had, you know, had production in the NFL.
Yep.
And for a couple of years, and now he's coming back, and it would be an unbelievable signing for Toronto, you know, because they lost so many receivers. You know, they need that signing. I mean, it's something that they need. So,
yeah,
hopefully, you know, just for Toronto's sake, hopefully they can do that and they can get the kid.
Well, I hope so. That's on my list of things here. I've written out my six show topics like Rod likes to do. So that's happening. The proposed there's a proposed amendment. The CFLPA is going to address that at the meetings in Vegas.
What happened with regards to him in the draft? Because he's a Canadian kid, did he not go into the draft? Because usually, because way back in BC, I wasn't there actually then, but BC was going to sign Steve Harden.
Yeah.
And because he went to the University of Oregon, but then somebody came up and asked him about, you know, his possibly being Canadian, and they found out he was. He had to go into the draft. So, you know, what happened? Did you know anything about this, his draft or anything like that? Because usually when a guy is found out to be Canadian, he goes through the draft.
Yeah, I mean, he was drafted in 2014 by the Detroit Lions, yeah. 189th overall.
Yeah, I was in the league then, too, and I don't recall.
But maybe because of that, he wouldn't get drafted.
Well,
but
maybe that there was no... A lot of times, guys don't know that they can get the non-import status. And, of course, he didn't need it because he's going to the NFL.
He's going to the NFL.
You know, so that's a different situation.
Very different situation. So that's interesting. That's on all of our minds this morning. Gregory Lee says, if I was Toronto, I would pay the remaining $240,000 under the table to make him happy with a winky face. Yeah, I know.
No, you can't do that.
You can't do that, though. Donna says, good morning, Dupes, Clark, Craig, and Rod. She knows Rod's watching in Mexico.
Hey,
so.
Donna.
Good morning, Donna.
Hey, ladies.
And Randy's, yeah, Randy's watching in Cochrane, Alberta. So that's interesting. A couple of hockey topics I want to get to as well today. One, Jay Bouwmeester won't play this season. That's announced. He's sitting contemplating his future. He'll do that more over the summer. And when he talks, you know, it's interesting because he's like, I feel fine. I feel good.
Yeah, but he did before that happened.
Huge credit to the two training staffs on the ice.
That's for sure.
And you're right. He did feel good before it happened.
Yeah.
But he's like, then I have to think about what actually I went through.
Absolutely.
And realize that I got to figure out if I should be playing or not.
Yeah, I just wonder if he's not going to play ever again. And it might, that, you know. It's him. It's his body.
Yeah.
But that's a tough situation, man. I mean, you know, and what a way to go out. You know, him winning this cup the year before and having a heck of a career. He's, what is he, 34?
36? 37, I think.
37? Yeah. Well, just best of luck to him. And thank God that they got to him and, you know, he's okay.
What a decision to make because he's 37. So he's on the back nine of his career.
Sure.
And St. Louis is good again. He's got another shot at the cup.
Absolutely.
And here's a contending team. You're a big veteran piece in the back end. So there's more than just your health on the line here. You're talking about another shot at the cup, which doesn't come along very often.
No.
Just ask Joe Thornton.
Ask everybody.
Right? It doesn't happen very often. So, so that's interesting. That's one of the hockey notes. The other one is the Vancouver Canucks continue to roll, but they're in a little bit of trouble. They're saying now 3 to 4 weeks for Jacob Markstrom right now. Had minor surgery on Wednesday. They're saying it's a meniscus tear. That, according to Patrick Johnson from the Province newspaper, the Canucks saying they're going to reevaluate him in 2 weeks. And also Brock Besser now out 8 weeks, according to Ian McIntyre. So he won't return till at least the playoffs.
Old UND kid.
So they're in a little bit of trouble. The Winnipeg Jets, your Jets, are back on the ice tonight. The back end of a grueling home and home. But I mean, what a comeback the other night on Tuesday.
Was,
down three.
Yeah, I was writing them off. Good old Mr. Positive here, just watching. Oh God, you know, here we go again. And then, hey, they scored. Okay.
Yeah.
They scored again. 3-2. You know, and then they score again. And this was a funny goal by Scheifele.
Yeah.
You know how it kind of went off. He was on the ground and you know, so they came back, they made a nice comeback, they at least got a point, which was critical.
Huge.
Yeah, so getting everything nowadays, and what do they have, like 18 games left or something? It's getting down to the nitty-gritty. I mean, these next couple of weeks are going to be unreal with regards to hockey.
It's right down to the nitty-gritty. Yeah. So the Jets are in Washington tonight.
They're home
to Washington. They were in Washington Tuesday, yes. Home to Washington, you're right. So that's something we'll be following. It's a big night in the NHL, especially when it comes to the Western Conference playoff picture. So
yeah, but you got the Leafs beat Tampa.
The Leafs beat Tampa.
My goodness.
Great was that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All of a sudden, the sky's falling one day.
No Zamboni player playing goal there. They beat the who was in getting net? Was it the Russian that was in?
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, there you go.
So you beat an actual NHL goaltender.
I'll tell you something. That Leaf team is something. I mean, we were talking yesterday at our coffee with Eddie Bankowski and Bernie Schmidt about how the amount of money that they're paying like four guys.
Yeah.
But those four guys are like upper class guys that everybody and their dog would love to have.
Oh, yeah.
And they go and play Tampa, who's one of the better teams in the league, and they go beat them. You know, so, I mean, that's an intro. Hopefully, I'd like to see all the Canadian teams make the playoffs. Obviously, Ottawa's not going to, but it would sure be nice to see all that. But, you know, I'm a Jet fan, but if they go, I'll be cheering for the Canadian teams. And the Leafs will have to bring that Toronto Maple Leaf hat back, so we'll see.
There you go.
What happens.
We'll look forward to that, Craig. You got to wear that on the set one day. It'll be fun. The BC Lions, according to Farhan Lalji, 95% out on Darrell Walker. So some news out of BC yesterday. That was Wednesday on Vancouver Radio. Farhan mentioning that the Lions at 95% out on Darrell Walker. Still really interested to see where he's going to end up.
But I read a tweet that they were going to restructure Mike Riley's contract and somebody else.
Yeah, so Mike Riley and Sook Chung are both set to restructure their contracts.
Yeah,
I thought that might have been to try and open up some money for Darrell Walker.
Yeah.
According to Farhan, who's very connected in the football community in BC.
He's right in there, man.
And across the country.
Yeah.
95% out, which is a big surprise.
There's still a 5% chance.
So you're saying there's a chance.
There is a chance, yeah.
Right?
And you know, Riley said, I would do that. Mm-hmm. Like he said that I would restructure to get him back. I mean, they had fantastic chemistry back in Edmonton. I mean, you remember that year? That first few games, it was like he was going to catch 180 balls or something. It was crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and he's still got a lot of game left in him. And boy, can you imagine going to BC's helped themselves. I mean, on the offensive line, they got the tackle from Hamilton. I mean, they're going to be better. Everybody got better. I don't know that Winnipeg and Saskatchewan got better, but I don't think they needed to get better. You know, they signed all their guys that they needed to sign. You know, everybody's saying free agency for those guys. Well, free agency was signing their own guys.
Yeah.
That's a huge part of it, and they did. They signed. Everybody's back on both sides, and, of course, depends on Kolaros. I'm sorry about getting into that. But,
no.
It's going to be very interesting.
It's going to be very, very interesting. Yeah. What's been really quiet but making its way through Saskatchewan this weekend is Randy's road trip. Randy Ambrosi, the CFL commissioner, will be in Regina on Saturday. And I tell you this, I Googled like for an hour and I couldn't figure out where's he going to be. When's he coming?
Yeah.
What time?
You couldn't find it?
All I found was that it was Saturday in Regina, on the CFL site.
Wow.
That's all I could find.
Huh.
I even searched Randy's trip in Regina. He brought up where he was in 2018 and 2019. This is the third trip that he's on.
Yeah.
He was in Calgary. Now he's going to be in Saskatchewan and Winnipeg, and he's out east.
There was something that was put out there that had his full schedule, and I don't know where it was. I don't know if it was on, you know, his tweet or CFL or whatever, but there was something there.
It's not on the CFL homepage.
Huh.
So my point is, and we love the folks over at the CFL, and they've been really good to us,
but
you have to make things easy for people to find.
Yeah.
Right? And it's for the fans.
Absolutely.
Now I find out it's going to be at the stadium, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be over at the stadium on Saturday in Regina. He'll be there to answer questions and comments and everything else, but you'd want to blow this up. He's making his way across the country. You know, front and center, it shouldn't be hard to figure out where this fan event is going to be, right?
Absolutely.
So
sure.
You got to put it in front of people. So Randy's road trip, the third annual, coming to Regina on Saturday, was just in Winnipeg, still has to go to BC and Toronto in March. And two other things I want to get your thoughts on, and we'll do this after the break. Later on in the hour, but Aaron Rodgers, his statement, and the NFLPA coming out against the proposed collective bargaining agreement, which would have a 17-game regular season schedule. So You look at Richard Sherman was on that, Russell Wilson, Darius Slay, the Detroit Lions cornerback, says, I'm lockout ready. So the players are ready, potentially, to strike. Yeah. I don't know how serious that is.
Yeah.
And I really want to get your thoughts on the NFL Combine, too.
Yeah.
So we'll do that today as well.
Sure.
It's a busy show. Les Lazarick from Saskatoon, the voice of the Saskatoon Blades, will be on the video chat. In the next segment here in Hour 1, we're going to go out and talk to Jeff Ulrich, a DraftKings fantasy insider, and Ken Reed of Rogers Sportsnet will join us in Hour 2. This has been the rollout for Flooring Superstores. Our folks and our friends at Flooring Superstores this morning here on the Rod Peterson Show, watching on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital Ford Lincoln. Trade up on a brand new 2019 F-150 Super Crew 4x4. They're starting at just $34,999 plus tax. That's savings up to 30% off. Plus, get 19% off all remaining new 2019 Ford Escapes. 4x4s are starting as low as $25,999 plus tax. Happening for a limited time at Saskatchewan's 2019 number one Ford store, Capital Ford Lincoln in Regina.
Direct West provides us with stats and analytics, and it's amazing for us to look and see that, you know, each year we're 10 to 20% higher on our Google leads. It's great to see the success that our locations are having. The Direct West app gives us an opportunity to be in one place for people to find any of our locations or our commodities. Without Direct West, we would have to be in multiple digital places. I would recommend Direct West. They're great to work with.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back to the Rod Peterson Show. Darren DuPont in on the Rod Peterson Show. It was the Vegas Golden Knights digging atop the Pacific Division with a 3-0 win over Edmonton last night. Tonight in the National Hockey League, Winnipeg is home to Washington. Calgary's on the road in Nashville, and the Toronto Maple Leafs are in Florida. Clark's got his Toronto Maple Leafs hoodie on in the back.
Yep.
And that's your sports update. A quick one for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. And my shoulder's still feeling the effects of the slow pitch game last night. But as we welcome you back in, our director of scouting, Craig Smith, is in the bunker with us today. NFL Combine. I want to go there right away because it's been in the news, obviously. And the funny part is with all the things that they do in the NFL Combine, the Wunderlich test, and they have the measurements and everything like that. Did you see Joe Burrow's tweets?
Yeah.
You know, they measured his hands, and they say his hands are too small.
Yeah.
So now he's contemplating retirement.
Yeah.
He's going to be the number one overall pick in the NFL draft.
Yeah.
But his hands are too small, right?
Yeah.
And then Patrick Mahomes comes out and tweets him back and says, don't worry, I got small hands too, and I'm doing just fine.
Yeah, I think so.
So you've been to the NFL Combine, right?
I have. In 2008, I was out of work.
Yeah.
And because they don't allow the CFL. I mean, there are guys, some CFL guys that get in there because of connections. But I got down there at Tennessee Titan. Mike Ackerley got me down there. And I sat. I timed every player. I was in the stands, and I was right along where the 40s were, and I timed every guy. Timed your Tennessee Titan, Chris Johnson, at 4.28. It was the fastest guy that I've ever timed, ever.
Best anybody's ever timed.
Yeah, yeah. And it was great. I was like a kid in a candy store. Like, I was amongst the NFL guys. I remember I was sitting, I was watching the field goals, and it was over, and I was just getting up, and Tom Coughlin looked at me, says, is it over? And I said, yep, it's over. Tom Coughlin, and he's sitting with Mike Holmgren, and you're not really getting an opportunity to talk. If you wanted to, you could, but I mean, all those guys are there, and it's just a great. And then after the timing and everything, you watch the on-field drills, and it's great. It is.
Yeah.
I just loved it. Of course, I loved our. I really miss our combines. You know, our CFL combines. I used to go to Edmonton and then into Montreal or Quebec whenever they had it.
Yeah.
And then the two in Toronto, and I miss that dearly. I wish I could be, you know, at the 40 and timing and, you know, looking at all these guys. But NFL Combine is just an amazing, amazing thing. It's just an accumulation of data. And, every smart player personnel guy knows that you know, it's an indicator, that indicator. I mean, when you're in a 4.28, I mean, I don't think I'd miss it by a tenth of a second. So, okay, if I missed it by a tenth, he ran 4.38. Yeah, that's pretty fast. Now, what does he do on the football field? Well, son of a gun, you know, the kid can run too. He ran for 2,000 yards. I mean, it's just an indicator, all that stuff. It's but you want to get, you know, guy jumps like Cameron Wake. Wake jumped, and he was like his vertical was just incredible, and his broad jump and all that. And, you know, and I kind of scratched my head with regards to how come the NFL missed that guy. But things happen. But, yeah, it's just an accumulation of data. And then you marry it up with the film, and then they interview. They have interviews where they can go 18 minutes and talk with guys. And, you know, a lot of times, like if I was interviewing a guy, I would ask him how important football is. And a lot of guys, and you can tell if they're full of crap or not, you know, you can just see how important football is to them. And I'd always ask about who's the most important guy or person that has made you, you know, influenced you. And a lot of times if they say their mom, I'm pretty happy with that, you know, because that, you know, that's a pretty, or dad, of course, but, you know, that's an indicator that there's, you know, they've had some care. And, you know, they're probably going to be a good kid. It's a fascinating time. It's an excellent time.
Yeah, it looks great and something that's looks really cool and happening right now. But I want to get more thoughts on that, too. But right now we head out to Saskatoon on the video chat, and a guy that can probably put 35 up on the bench press himself, I think, if we did a broadcaster's combine. Les, how the heck are you?
I'm great. I don't know about putting up any kind of weight on a bench press of any kind nowadays, but thanks for thinking that I could do that. Yeah.
Hey, I see you when you get fired up in the booth, okay? And that extra, you know, they grunt on the bench press. When you get fired up, I don't know. There's a lot you could get done.
Yeah. You'd have to do something to me, like maybe throw a Montreal Canadiens jersey in front of me in order to get me fired up like that. That would probably be enough to do it, yeah.
So what makes you happier then on Tuesday night? That the Habs blow a 2-0 lead and the Canucks come back to win? Or that the Jets come back from down 3-0 to salvage a point in Washington?
I should say that it is when Winnipeg comes back. But I must say that I am happier when the Montreal Canadiens and or the Edmonton Oilers and or the Ottawa Senators don't win. That's what makes me happier, only because I've had to put up with their fan bases and or some of their media types over the course of time, and that's what really gets me going.
Good. And this is exactly what I wanted to get into today, because this has been on my mind. You talk about those fan bases. What is it that they do that's so annoying? And is it something that they're like, what is it about the Habs fan base that's so irritating?
You ever see Brad Marchand on the ice and what he does? He chirps. And that's what a lot of these fans do. They chirp you. They let you know that your team isn't good and that theirs is wonderful. Except that in the case of the Habs and the Oilers, there hasn't been a lot to chirp about for several years now. So don't give me how wonderful you are like the Canadians and how you've won 25 Stanley Cups in your lifetime. That's wonderful. I'm happy for you. Do you remember, in a lot of instances, when was the last time? Did you actually watch when your team last won the Stanley Cup? Probably not. You can't remember it. I do, because it actually bothered me to no end. But a lot of Habs fans nowadays cannot remember. The Oilers, you have to go back to the 1990s and early 1990s to win a Stanley Cup. Same sort of a thing. They're all excited about Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, and they should be. Those are great players. Are they the same type of Oiler teams as was the case back in the 80s and early 1990s? Not a chance. There's a long ways to go for this Oiler team to be even considered in that same conversation with those great Oiler teams from the 80s that I didn't like back then, but I had a lot of respect for. That's the other thing. I don't like them, but I do have a lot of respect for what the Habs back in the day did and what the Oilers back in the day did.
Yeah, that's the one. So Habs, and you just hit it. Habs fans, they always bring up the 24 Stanley Cups. That's it. They're living in the past, and that's all they bring up, right? And now people will say that Leaf fans are the most annoying, that's probably true. I want to know what the thing is. Because for Oiler fans right now, and I just see this Every time I open up Twitter, there's a slow-mo video or there's a picture or something that somebody's doing to McDavid and they're wondering why there's no penalty. I don't see other fan bases doing this as much as the Oilers fans. They're always crying about missed calls. So for me, that's the most annoying.
Yeah, it is annoying. And probably part of the reason why is because back in the 80s, when you had the rules being a little more relaxed than what they are now, there was also, back then, no instigator penalty. And if you dared to even breathe on Wayne Gretzky, you had to put up with Dave Semenko. There's no such thing nowadays. I mean, Zach Kassian can try and do that, but we've seen what happens. He goes ahead and takes a massive suspension for going after Matthew Tkachuk like that in a situation that had nothing to do, really, with McDavid being fouled on the play. The problem being is that McDavid, when he does something like that, it may be ticky-tack. I don't disagree. Some of the penalties that he's taken and some of the stuff against him are a lot worse than the penalties he's taken. But it's just the way the game goes nowadays. And I think a lot of it is just due to the fact that it's a different game entirely and that the Stars aren't as protected by their own teams as they once were.
How about Prince Albert Raiders fans? What's the most annoying thing that they do?
They chirp too. There's a segment of them that chirp as well, and that's fine.
There you go.
I'm over what happened back in the playoffs last year. It'll probably get bubbled back up to the surface again if those two teams happen to play in the first round. It may very well happen.
Yeah, it's fun, and that's what we want. 10,000 people in the building when the Raiders and Blades played in Game 6. So it doesn't get much better than that. Hey, speaking of the Blades, you got a little bit of time in between games here, which is great. But the teams, had a great weekend, won a couple of games. And in a little bit of a tease here, we're going to have our Sask Snow Beef prospect feature coming up here shortly. But it's Tristan Robbins of the Blades and his evolution. Oh. I mean, he's just been leading the way for this team. How much fun has it been to watch him?
Lots of fun to see the development of Tristan Robbins. Last year, coming in as a rookie, acquired from Regina, he had his moments last year. I mean, he scored a big, huge goal in the playoffs against Moose Jaw. And we knew that he would be better, that he would develop and have a better season this year. But because of factors such as Kirby Dach not returning, decisions made to trade other people, suddenly Tristan Robbins' stock grew and his role grew and he became that first line center and he's flourished in that role ever since he was put into the middle there and alongside Kyle Prinkovic for the most part on the left wing side. And he's had various different right wingers as the season has gone on, but Martin Fascoruidis was there with him for a while, and he's done fine. I mean, right now he's got Colton Dach and Riley McKay with him. We'll see whether that ends up staying the same come Friday, because you never know with the Blades coaching staff. They might just decide, time to change back to the lines the way they were. Those guys, they have a pretty good read on the pulse of the team. But Robbins has, with his skating ability, with his nose for the net, his fearless attitude, has come away with being able to have an MVP type of season as far as the Saskatoon Blades are concerned.
Yeah, it's been really fun to watch. Now, the Blades are doing some really cool things. The captain, Chase Waters, bobblehead night coming up. But it probably should be Chase Waters' dad on the bobblehead instead. He's the real star in Saskatoon after that pregame speech he gave on Parents Weekend. If you haven't seen it, he comes in and gets to do the pregame speech and announce the starting lineup. It's on the Blades' Twitter feed and their social media channels. But they're also doing something pretty cool. What is it? Next weekend, when they're bringing in David Ayres, the emergency backup goaltender. How cool is that?
Yeah, the E-Bug is the goat of all acronyms right now, as far as I'm concerned. The Blades have connections and have found a way to bring David Ayres in for next Friday's game at home against the Regina Pats. That's part of the WHL program, the Suits Up for Organ Donation program. And so it's perfect. It's a great tie-in because David Ayres, of course, is a kidney transplant recipient, which fits in beautifully with the whole theme of organ donation and the Suits Up program that the Western Hockey League is doing with their various Canadian-based teams. So that's great. That's an outstanding announcement. It's a coup for the Blades to be able to bring him in, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Darren, you're going to notice I'm going to be wearing something a little different in the booth next Friday as well. So that'll be something that'll be auctioned off as well as the special jerseys, which haven't been introduced yet by the Blades either.
So I'm guessing that I'm going to have to make sure I'm wearing a sharp suit and tie to just so I can kind of keep up.
You have to keep up with me next Friday. not that you really have to most times, because I'm certainly no clothes horse like the usual guy sitting in that chair with you. There's the ultimate clothes horse, but that's a good thing because Mr. Rod Peterson's a man of style.
And I think he's still watching this morning on the on the Facebook feed.
He should be.
Well, of course, right? I mean, feet are up. He's got coffee. He's in the sun, man. I know, right?
Tough
the life. Yeah.
Hey, Les, Craig Smith. We're both.
Yes, sir. Love the jersey.
Thanks. I'm a big Yankee fan. Way back when Maris hit 61, I loved them and went through a lot of tough times, let me tell you. And then all of a sudden they started to win 77. They lost in 76, won in 77. Yeah. So, we're Winnipeg boys. And you know what I'd like? If you're ever here in Regina, you give me a shout and let's go to Nicky's or somewhere and let's have some food and let's talk some sports. Because, you know, I bet you $10 we were at the same functions. Sporting events in Winnipeg together, and then they'll get Rob Vanstone there, and we can talk about the 72 game, that broke my heart. But I'd love to do that, to get together with you.
I'm in for that, Craig. Absolutely. Next time I'm in Regina on my own, the next time in Regina, of course, is a week from Saturday, but
the
I 7th, come down on the bus on the 7th on the Saturday, so I won't have time unless I decided to drive down on my own. That's a possibility. You never know. I might make that decision on my own. If so, I will let you know.
That'd be great. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah,
that would be really cool. Mm-hmm. Look at that we're making things happen here on the show, which is awesome.
Yes.
But it's a big weekend in Saskatoon sports, Les. I mean, I know we're sitting here across the country, but I mean, you look at the Rush, you look at the Blades are playing, the Huskies are playing with, the basketball team hosting, the men's team, hosting the Canada West Final. It's an exciting time to be a Saskatoonian.
Yeah, I know for some of the folks in the bigger markets that have CFL teams, NHL teams, this may be small Charlie potatoes. But here in Saskatoon, this is a big weekend. You've got Merlis Belcher Place, which is the new university hockey rink, which replaced decrepit old Rutherford rink. And as Dave Adolph was telling me yesterday, nobody that came there in the playoffs especially ever wanted to play there. They wanted to get out of there as quickly as they can. The new rink is gorgeous. They'll do well this weekend, playing host in a best-of-three Canada West final against the UBC Thunderbirds, who upset the Alberta Golden Bears, the perennial Canada West and National University men's hockey champions last weekend in a thrilling best-of-three series. That starts on Friday night. You've got a Friday night one-game winner-take-all battle for women's basketball. The U of S Huskies will look for their fourth championship in 5 years under head coach Lisa Tomitis. And what a season that is for them, by the way, when you consider that Lisa Tomitis is also the head coach of Canada's national women's team and has been away from her squad for much of the season. And yet they have continued to be excellent. 18-2 in the regular season, two playoff wins. They'll play host to the Alberta Golden Bears Friday night at the Physical Activity Center on the U of S campus. And that will be for the Canada West University Women's Basketball Championship. You mentioned the Rush. They're at home on Saturday. That's going to be a big deal, of course, as it always is whenever the lacrosse team plays here in Saskatoon. And then, of course, you mentioned the Blades and the Raiders, the arch rivalry from Central Saskatchewan in the Western Hockey League. They haven't seen each other since just after the Christmas break. So that, you look at that, and that's since the trade deadline they haven't played each other. Both teams are significantly different. So it makes for an interesting Friday night at SaskTel Center and then a return match Saturday at the Art Hauser Center. And, of course, as you mentioned, Darren, the Chase Waters bobblehead dolls. Even some Raider fans wouldn't mind one of those, I don't think, because if you're a real hockey fan, you appreciate the way that young man plays the game. A 200-foot game, never quits, always trying, really hard effort on his part. You can't help but like him and be happy for him when he has success, as he's had for pretty much all of his WHL career.
Yeah, it's going to be an amazing weekend. And before we let you go, Robin Wildy, who you would know, checking in from Prince Albert.
Yes.
Most annoying things that Raider fans do, he says, pointing out the two championship banners.
Yeah, like I say, that's fine. You know what? The one before last year, they really were in the same kind of boat as most Montreal and Edmonton fans, in that you were hanging on to something that was long ago. Give credit where credit is due. Last year, your people, Curtis Hunt, Mark Hapscheid, that entire coaching staff, Jeff Truitt, Dan Gender, and that group of players did a phenomenal job. So good on the Raiders for winning last year. Can't take that away from you. Will you win this year? That remains to be seen. What a battle we've got going in the East Division going into the last month of the regular season, with only 8 points separating first from fourth place. And anybody can beat anybody, and anybody could end up anywhere in those top four and make for an interesting postseason. Last year, the Blades finished second in the East Division with 98 points. None of those four teams might get to 90 points this year. That's how different this season is by comparison to last year.
Wow. Great insight and a great update, Les. Enjoy the rest of your day, and I will see you tomorrow.
Thank you, Darren.
See you tomorrow.
You will see you tomorrow night, absolutely.
All right, Les Lazarek joining us on the video chat from Saskatoon, voice of the Saskatoon Blades. We got to take a time out. We do have a poll question and something I want to get to here in hour one. The NFL is proposing a 17-game regular season. It looked to be something that was about to be pushed through, but the players are saying not just yet. Are you in favor of a 17-game schedule? That's our daily poll question for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center. Are you in favor of a 17-game regular season in the NFL? I think I know where you sit. Of course you are, right?
No.
You're not?
No. I like that 16-game schedule, and football's a tough game. You know, you add another game and the injuries and stuff like that. I mean, I like the 16 game, you know. So.
All right. We'll get into that on the other side of the break. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
I've chased adrenaline my entire life. But I'm talking fourth quarter, monster hit, crowd losing it. Nothing beats the energy of a rush game.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the Rod Peterson Show. Darren DuPont in the bunker with Craig Smith, our director of scouting. But let's get right into our WHL prospect feature for this week. We had Les Lazarek on the video chat just on the other side. He had great things to say about Tristan Robbins, who's our this week's featured player for our friends at Saskatchewan Snow Beef. He's with the Saskatoon Blades from Clear Lake, Manitoba. He's a great player. He's a fourth-round pick of the Pats. He got traded in those deals that helped the Pats get loaded up for the Memorial Cup. It was a Libor Hájek deal that the Blades got. Tristan Robbins, who they were really excited about. And now all of a sudden, he's evolved and elevated his game throughout the year to lead the team in goals, points, shots on goal, all as an 18-year-old. So he's eligible and projected to be drafted in the 2020 NHL entry draft this year in Montreal in June. So Tristan Robbins of the Saskatoon Blades, our WHL prospect feature for our friends at Saskatchewan Snow Beef, has superior taste in marbling. It's... You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
you've been watching that kid.
You've been watching that kid a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a great player. Brett Upton had a comment in. Do we have that one, Clark? He wanted to ask if Rod and I were going to make it down to Merlis Belcher. There it is. Merlis Belcher place is nice. Dupes, you and Rod should come up and check it out one day. Well, I've been there and seen it. Rod, I don't think he's been to the rink yet, and I haven't seen a game yet, but I pulled this up on the desk, and you were wondering what these were.
Yeah.
When I went and visited, now I used to do Husky men's hockey,
okay,
do the play-by-play, and I used to also do public address for the women's team, and so when they won their championships, I got a championship hat in the room.
Oh, cool.
This is rust from Old Rutherford Rink.
Wow.
And this is the dirt from underneath center ice.
Wow.
The gravel or whatever. So if you know Rutherford, the old rink, they would have rust delays because anytime a bar went up into the rafters, it would ring the rafter and there'd be a strip all the way down.
Yeah.
Of rust on the ice. You'd have to get the crew out and brush up the rust.
Oh,
and
man.
Every game, there would be a rust delay. And it became this little thing that Rutherford Rink was known for, that the building's so old, and it, rust, dust will fall to the ice.
Yeah.
And so here is a collection
of
rust.
Ain't that something.
So,
I got a story. Mike Babcock. So, we go down in April, usually, for Florida. For our mm-hmm. camps and stuff like that. So I came home. Brendan stayed a couple of days. He's going to watch some hockey. Tampa was in the playoffs against Detroit, and it was in between games. And so sometimes it's tough to get hockey down there if you're in their hotel. They don't have the NHL network or something. So Brendan went to the sports bar right close to the arena. So he walked in there, and he had the Rider stuff on, and this guy turns around and he says, "Saskatchewan Rough Riders." What the heck? And Brendan said, "Yeah, I work for the team." He says, "What do you do?" He says, "I'm the GM." He says, "The GM? Holy cow!" It was Mike Babcock.
Wow!
So they started to talk, and one of the things that Babcock said was, because he played for U of S.
Yep.
He said, "Do they still play in that old barn?" And Brendan said, "Yeah, they still do." And now they've got this brand spanking new. But I thought that was funny, that Babcock would mention that about that old barn. And now you're talking about how crazy that place was. It's incredible.
Who would have thought that when the rink goes down, one of the greatest collectibles, and this is one of the greatest souvenirs or sports collectibles that I have, is this little cylinder of rust.
That's amazing.
From the big overhead beam. So
I'm going Saturday. I'm really looking forward to going to that new rink and seeing... I want to see that goaltender. I mean, he's mm-hmm. 96 shots on him, and they...
Which one? Which goaltender? Well, Ryland Toth for UBC. You talked about the 96 shots.
Yeah.
He stopped over 240 shots in the playoffs already, or he's had 240 shots on him. But Taron Kozin, on the other hand, for the Huskies, was just named the Canada West Goaltender of the Year and Player of the Year.
Wow.
He's having an amazing season leading the Huskies into the final.
Well, now, the Kozin, there was a Kozin that we at Saskatchewan Hilltops. He's a defensive lineman. And I worked him out probably about five times. And he went and played at U of S.
Brandon Kozin? Or am I thinking of... No. I'm thinking of a hockey player.
I can't recall, but really good kid. I wonder... It's got to be a relative.
Yeah.
Good. I'm looking forward to seeing both those
Taron Kozin and Ryland Toth. And for me, what I'm really hoping for, because I'll be on Friday night... calling the Saskatoon Blades game over at the Sastel Center.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that it's a goaltender's duel, 0-0.
Who are they playing?
1-1, UBC and the Huskies. The Blades are playing PA.
Yeah, PA.
But I'm hoping that the Husky game is a tight 0-0, 1-1. The goaltenders are playing, and we get overtime. So when the game's over in Saskatoon, I can get over to Merlish to see like the second overtime or the end of the first overtime.
Yeah.
That would be ideal.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool.
I did that once, actually, with a Husky women's game. They were playing in the playoffs against Regina, and for whatever reason, all those games went to multiple overtimes.
Yeah.
And so I was in Prince Albert calling a hockey game. Started at the same time, 7 o'clock. And I got back to Saskatoon from PA after doing the game, doing the post-game show, grabbing some food, got all the way back to Saskatoon and got to the rink to see a full period of overtime.
You gotta be kidding.
And watch the game-winning goal. It was so cool.
Oh, wow.
As I'm following it, you know, you're driving.
Yes.
And you pull over and check your phone, or you just have and you just check. Yeah. You know, just a quick, are they winning? Yeah. Is it over? And it's not. And now they're in another intermission. It's like, if I go quick, you know, I got 20 minutes now in the intermission, and
holy
then it's
smokes.
On again, and another overtime.
That's incredible.
And then you start thinking that you're going to make it back, and then you do.
And you did.
Yeah.
And you saw a whole period.
And I saw
a
whole period.
Oh, that's incredible.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Very, 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 very cool. So, hoping I can catch a little bit of that this weekend. The Huskies and UBC Thunderbirds off to Nationals. Thanks to Ryland Toth, the Saskatoon goaltender, UBC off to Nationals for the first time in 42 years.
Wow.
Wow is
hey,
right.
They have good hot dogs there?
I don't know. I haven't watched the game there.
No.
At the new rink.
Oh, maybe the viewers know.
If there's good hot dogs.
Or good hamburgers.
Matt Kozin, Ryan Marischak.
Matt Kozin, there
Matt
we go.
Matt Kozin.
Yes,
thank you, Ryan, on the Facebook wall.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan.
For
good
that.
Kid. Really good kid.
Yeah. So, really great. In the time we have left in hour one, I want to finish these thoughts that you had on the combine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you talk about how cool it is and you can see those metrics. How much are we paying too much attention to some of the measurables? I know 40-yard dashes are one thing, speed, bench press for strength, you know, the vertical, things like that. But, you know, measuring a guy's hands, a guy's height and weight, a score on a Wonderlic test, are we paying too much attention to these things?
You know, it's funny because when I heard that Burrow had a 9-inch hand, I was surprised. Because a kid can throw.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you get a smaller hand on a football, when you get into inclement weather, it's a little different, you know.
Well, think about us.
Yeah.
If I grab a CFL football that we have over there on the desk, it's one thing.
Yeah.
And then if I grab a smaller Nerf football, I can bomb that thing. I feel like I'm in the NFL because your hand's bigger on the ball.
Yeah, well, you see some of the guys like Brett Favre and Troy Aikman. I mean, those... It would almost wrap around the ball.
Looks like they're throwing a Nerf ball.
Yeah, it does. It really does. The ball looks small.
Yeah.
And, that again, that's an indicator, right? Now, I think Mahomes was 9.25. And how many people in the world would take him as a quarterback? I think a fair bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Tebow was 10.5 or something like that, a big hand. And, he didn't go very far, but he obviously was one of the better college quarterbacks ever to play.
Yeah.
And, so I think sometimes, some scouts get enamored with a lot of the information that comes through, but the good ones, they know. I mean, those guys, they look at so much film and they see and they've got the reports all those things, again, are just indicators that could help a person in the pro level, you know. So
I don't envy your job as a scout.
I love it. I mean, you take a look at that, and again, when I went like that and I saw 4.28, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like that was incredible. And that transferred to the game. That transferred to the field.
His breakaway speed and his ability to cut. And now, when I look at that, I look at, you know, a couple of different things. As a Titans guy, Vince Young, who, I mean, does he still hold up the worst Wonderlic score in the history of the test? He's got one of them, right? He didn't score very well.
Yeah.
But he's a gifted athlete, and he won, you know, in college.
He was unreal at Texas.
Yeah.
I mean, he was phenomenal.
Well, and you know what? I liked him at Tennessee. Now, he didn't put up the numbers.
Yeah.
He didn't have the stats.
Yeah.
He didn't have the mechanics. But all he did was win.
Mm-hmm.
He won a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
And the number of fourth quarter comebacks he had.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the greatest football game I still have ever seen was USC-Texas, right? It was at the 05 Rose Bowl.
I was in Kingsville, Texas, and Jim Barker was in our hotel. He was watching, I was watching, and I'll tell you something. That was just, I'm a big Texas fan, so that was a great day. I really enjoyed that, but what a game.
Yeah, but here's a guy who just wins.
Yeah.
And wasn't desired by really anybody in the NFL after he left Tennessee. You look at a guy now, Tim Tebow, maybe a little bit different.
Yeah.
But all that guy did was win too.
Yeah, see, but the quarterback, you know, position, you know, how often have you heard, boy, that guy's got all the tools?
Well, you know, and here's the other guy I want to bring up, like Matt Cassel, a guy who didn't start a single game in college football.
Yeah.
So the last game he started was in high school.
Yeah.
And
had success in the NFL.
He had some success, but he's not a Hall of Famer. He's not, you know, he was never an award winner. But he was touted as this great pro prospect, and he hadn't played a game since high school.
Yeah.
He had just been a backup in college. He had never been a starter.
Yeah.
So how does a guy, you know what I mean, how is he a pro prospect, a elite pro prospect, and yet a guy who kills it in college and puts up all the numbers, but he doesn't have the measurable tools, how is he not?
Yeah, well,
what's the difference?
That's obviously a different situation, but, you know, as a coach, you're always talking, take mental reps when you're back there. Make sure you're taking mental reps. You're not a starter right now, but you take your mental reps and you go through stuff, progressions and stuff like that, and then when you get an opportunity to go, and if you're working on the scout team, don't just go through the motions, you know. Make sure that you're using that brain and you're going through progressions and you're doing that. And obviously he did that while he was, you know, practicing in behind some quarterbacks that were better, you know. So kudos to him. But, and that's the thing about a quarterback, you know, all it's not just dropping back and throwing. I mean, you got to drop back and you got to read and you got to, you know, go to the right place. If it's zone, you're looking at windows. If it's man, you know, all those different things and you know, It's a process, and some guys, you could see it. Some guys, and you, especially when you come up here, there's an extra defensive back there, and you know Manziel said that. He said I had trouble with that extra guy. You know, when guys come up, and it takes a while. It just takes a while for the American kids to come up here, and do that. So, you know, it's an amazing process, and you know they say it's not a science. It's I love it. I love just looking at players and, you know, seeing how they're going. And I feel pretty proud of the stuff that I've given. You know, only my first year or so, 2 years, I had the opportunity to really bring in guys and stuff. But the other years, it was more like, okay, here, what do you think about these guys? It's always say you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Yeah.
So sometimes they drank my Kool-Aid. I was so fortunate. I was in the 19 years in the CFL, but 17 years in player personnel. And I worked with so many great people, and everybody did things differently. Like it's, you know, like there's some guys that they weren't report guys. And then there's other guys, their reports were so wordy, like, you know, so there's just a different way to do the job. And I've learned from so many guys, but it's a process. It's a process, and you got to put the work in, and you just don't guess and don't lie. And if you don't like this guy, make sure you say it. You know, so you know, and they're going through that right now, like that Indianapolis right now. It's on TV tonight. Hey, they moved it to primetime, so tonight you'll be actually, I think it's at 3:00 this afternoon, where you'll get to see, you know, guys running, and you get to see, and that's the whole thing. You know, there's so many athletes. What can they play football? Once you get that helmet on and shoulder pads, it's different.
It's a different game.
And same with in hockey. You know, everybody says, oh, shit, I could have done that. Yeah, really. There's a guy ready to take your head off. Same with in football. Guys are, I mean, it's violent. It's out there. It's not an easy sport, you know. And you just love seeing the game played properly.
Yeah,
and like the guy was sitting right here, Nick Lewis, came from a small school, and look what the amazing career that he had, you know, and you like seeing things like that, you know, coming up to Canada. And a lot of the Americans, that's what's great, is they come up here and they stay, because what did you say last week? Canada is the number one country to live in.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys that come up, and they love it, and they'll stay. And there's a reason for it.
They love it. They love it. Nelson Hakowich, there you go, on the Facebook wall. Andy Fantuz still holds the CFL combine record for the biggest hands in the league. Worked out pretty well for him.
You know, I think his hands were like 11-something. Like it was incredible.
Wow.
And what hands he had, hey? It's unreal. Like, I mean, that guy was one of the better ones.
Unbelievable watching Andy
Fantuz. And a great guy, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
from all accounts, seems like it worked out for Andy Fantuz, mm-hmm. for sure. We're over time here on hour one, so we got to pause the discussion. But I'm loving it, and I want more of it in hour two, so we'll do that. We'll also go out on the video chat to Jeff Ulrich from DraftKings next. One of the things I want to ask him is the XFL catching on in the fantasy sports world and the betting world? That's interesting. And Ken Reed of Sportsnet will be by as well in hour two. That and more here on The Rod Peterson Show. A big hour one. If you missed it, catch it on the podcast at rodpeterson.com or wherever you find your podcasts. It's The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital GMC. We're ready to pay top dollar for your vehicle, and you deserve an upgrade. Check out this loaded, certified pre-owned 2019 Chevy Impala. Its Capital GM buyback resale event price is only $21,215 plus tax. That's half price from its original MSRP. Or upgrade to the certified pre-owned 2019 GMC Acadia for just $31,882 plus tax. Happening for a limited time at Canada's largest certified pre-owned dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards, they're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years, and it's been a great experience.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's The Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
A man's personality and character is exuded through his haircut. Your image is important. Our high-end services range from a traditional haircut and shave to gray blending, beard shaping, and unwanted hair removal. Located at 425 Victoria Avenue East, book your appointment online now at modernmen.ca or call Tammy 306-522-4111. Modern Men, a haircut for the modern man.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.